This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick in for John Hockenberry. Thank you so much for listening. And 72 hours after a Supreme Court decision, a version of President Trump's travel ban takes effect at 8 p.m. tonight. On Monday, the court agreed to formally hear the case in October, but in the meantime, the justices ruled that parts of the travel ban can go forward. Now, you'll remember that the president's executive order restricts travel from six Muslim-majority countries. Those are Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, and Yemen. And it's been in limbo following rulings from the Fourth and Ninth Circuit Courts of Appeal, which blocked the ban from taking effect. Justices in Washington said that foreign nationals who do not have a bona fide relationship to the United States don't have the same rights as those who do, and therefore can be stopped from entering the country. And now the question and the inevitable legal challenges over that term, bona fide relationship. What does it mean? And what's the future of people who may or may not qualify as bona fide? The Trump administration has now offered its interpretation of what bona fide relationship means, and the administration appears to be defining it as immediate family only. Leon Fresco is former Deputy Assistant Attorney General at the Justice Department, where he was head of the Office of Immigration Litigation under the Obama administration, and he joins me now. Leon, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Thank you, Todd.
That term, bona fide relationship, I just mentioned, we now have some clarity from the Trump administration about how it views that term. What have they said?
Well, they've said that they're basically tracking the existing categories of family petitions within immigration law, which are parent, spouse, child, adult son and daughter. But interestingly, they add son-in-law and daughter-in-law to this. Oh, and they also include sibling, which is also part of the immigration law. And they include the step versions of sibling and parents. And so all of that is pretty much already tracking the existing categories of immigration law where familial relationships are recognized for either the reason that a relative would petition for a foreign national or for some other waiver relief that would occur, which is that when the government tries to remove you, if you can show hardship to a qualifying relative, they don't. So they've taken all the relatives that count for purposes of immigration law, and they've said only these relatives will count, but no other relatives will count.
So does this mean that with this narrow family determination, the Trump administration is basically following sort of standard immigration law and practice, and they're not coming up with a definition that's much more narrow than you would have in immigration from these countries or other standards of immigration?
I mean, I think what they did is not surprising in the sense that because they were not given guidance by the court, they since they want the broadest possible travel ban, but also don't want to be in violation of the injunction, they said, let's take every family category that already exists in the immigration code that's recognized as a family relationship that could conceivably give a foreign national some immigration benefit, and we will only allow those to be used, but we won't expand it any further than that. So, I mean, that to me was not surprising that they chose that route.
And so we should just be clear, because some of this is kind of legal determination. The Trump administration, now backed up by the courts, is essentially saying, you know, father, daughter, sister, what have you, you can get in under the travel ban. Cousin, second cousin, no.
Correct. Grandparents, grandchildren, aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews, cousins, that kind of thing. Those have never had a recognition in terms of family, a familial relationship in the immigration law, meaning a relationship that you would have with a grandparent, grandchild, aunt, uncle, cousin, etc., has never been able to be cited in an immigration court or an immigration application as some reason why someone should be allowed either to stay or to enter the United States, and hence it's not being allowed by the Trump administration for the purpose of the travel ban.
So, Leon Fresco, the original intent of the travel ban was to block entry from those six countries for 90 days while extreme vetting, or as the president said, figure out what's going on, can proceed. Does that 90-day clock now start tonight?
Well, what the Supreme Court said is it didn't understand why the 90-day clock didn't start when it originally was issued, because really there's been this debate about why people thought that the administration was enjoined in the first place from actually doing its vetting procedures. And in fact, Secretary Tillerson has issued a cable in the, I think, two or three months ago already that talked about people having to give social media passwords and 15 years of addresses and other information that's much more stringent than used to be in order to obtain a visa. And so those seem like the type of vetting procedures that the State Department was talking about trying to implement during the time of the travel ban. But what the Supreme Court said is, fine, suppose you've done nothing because you felt that you were enjoined from doing anything. We're going to restart the clock now. And so you have all of July, all of August, and all of September. And when we come back for oral argument in October, we want to know, why is this ban still in place?
And the vetting in the meantime is supposed to ramp up, right? Has it started? Do we know what that is?
Well, so the vetting right now, well, there's two kinds of vetting that are at issue here. There is vetting of the individual visa applicant, and there's vetting of the information that comes from the country in order to allow us to determine who this visa applicant is. So the vetting of the visa applicants has begun, and what the State Department has said is, if we think a visa applicant is suspect, we're going to ask for this additional information of the 15 years of addresses, where have you lived the last 15 years, social media passwords, other references, etc., to find out you're a bona fide person. And then there's the vetting of the country, which is what data does the country have to assist us in order to determine if that person is a criminal in that country? Are they a security risk in that country? And what the State Department is saying is, if we're not getting cooperation from countries to give us any material whatsoever in terms of being able to vet that individual, that's going to make it more likely that they're going to be banned moving into the future.
So there were two main parts. As I understood it, Leon Fresco, of the travel ban, there were the travelers that we're talking about, and then there are refugees from war-torn places, Syria, Iraq, other places. Where does their ability to enter the country stand now?
So the court actually did not make a distinction here, in the sense that what the court said was, even if you were a refugee, the only way you'd be able to enter is if you had some bona fide relationship with some other individual in the United States. Meaning, you know, a lot of times there's three refugee categories. One is a refugee category where you individually have been adjudicated to be a refugee. The second is where you're in a country where everybody in that country has been adjudicated to be a refugee. And the third is that you are the relative of a person who's already been adjudicated to be a refugee. So that third group is for sure going to be able to continue to come in during this travel ban injunction 90-day period. But folks who have absolutely no connection to the United States and would simply be entering as the first individual in their family, those individuals are now enjoined from entering under the travel ban.
So we have the summer of the travel ban for the Trump administration. And then, as you mentioned, not only the 90-day clock, but the Supreme Court's new session starting in October when they will hear this case. What happens 3 months from now when the Solicitor General and the administration comes back to defend the travel ban writ large?
Yeah, I think the Supreme Court is going to want to know, is this ban still in place? If the ban is not in place, well, is this case moot then? Because the ban is now not in place and nobody's challenging the State Department's new vetting regulations. That would have to be challenged in a different lawsuit if somebody has an issue with those. Or if the ban is still in place, they're going to want to have it. I think they're going to want to have supplemental briefing to say, why is there still a ban now? What is the purpose of this ban after you've done your analysis? And I think that I don't think this gets resolved quickly, because if there's still a ban, it's going to be viewed much more skeptically in terms of the Supreme Court saying, is this thing going to be permanent? And if so, why? And what will be the conditions in which people will be able to not be subject to a ban in the future?
And does that definition, that stricture of bona fide relationship that we've already talked about, become a legal issue later? Does some aggrieved cousin or grandparent say, hey, this, you know, my rights are being violated because I'm being cut out here under this definition?
There's already litigation that just got filed in the D.C. District Court that's talking about same-sex individuals who are not spouses but are in a relationship. So the contours of this are certainly going to be challenged. The key is going to be to find actual individuals in these six countries who actually are applying for a visa and who actually have some kind of relationship that's testing this kind of thing, a nephew, a niece, a grandparent, grandchild, etc. And from that standpoint, to see whether the court thinks those are compelling enough. I think some of those will prevail, but in the end, you know, I don't know that that will be a large enough number to undermine any particular part of what's going to happen in the next 90 days.
Leon Fresco, I know you're the lawyer, but I feel the need to talk about politics here for a second, because it's really come into this. The president's statements and the president's tweets in the various times when he lost or his policy lost in federal court criticized judges, criticized the courts, and suggested that they were making the country unsafe. And the subtext of some of those statements were that if there were a terrorist attack or a terrorist incident, and the origins were in some of these countries, that that the courts or judges may be partially to blame or would be to blame. That was clearly the subtext of some of his attacks. Some of that has been denuded now. Where do you think that kind of very incendiary politics stands now?
I think all of this is in the back of the minds of the judges who are going to be adjudicating this in order to try to figure out. We have a policy that we certainly need to use in certain periods of time. It is important. One can imagine a communicable disease situation where you would need to put in a temporary ban to stop a communicable disease from entering to the United States. So you want to be very careful just generally making this ban law invalid because the president may have hampered it with his rhetoric. But at the same time, you also have a duty to say that at some point, this kind of rhetoric does infect what would normally be a neutral application of a statute. And so this is why this case is so tough, is because probably the second travel ban, as it was written, if it had been written by another president in an antiseptic situation, probably would have been fine. But the question is, since its origin was a campaign promise to ban Muslims from the United States, can we divorce the inception, the reason of inception, from the now the policy that's in place? And that's the complicated issue here.
And looking forward to the potential very bad situation if another attack does occur in this country, the politics of that and where blame gets cast after all of the legal wrangling of the travel ban and who can enter the country is definitely, I think, sure to continue to be an issue. Leon Fresco, former Deputy Assistant Attorney General at Justice. We love having you on, Leo. Thanks for your help.
Thank you, Todd.